It's time for Under Your Home with DryZone. DryZone in Milton, Delaware, your complete source for basement and crawl space waterproofing, foundation repair, and basement finishing. 24-hour service. We never sleep at DryZone. 888-617-0363 or online at dryzone.com/the duck.
Well, good morning, folks. This is Bill Anderson with Under Your Home with DryZone, and it's been a few weeks, but Jason's actually joining me again.
It's good to be back on the radio again with you.
Well, listen, folks, you know, when Jason was here last time, we started to talk about crawl spaces, and now that we're really back into the season that, you know, the crawl space stuff really starts happening, I kind of wanted to really talk about some myths, kind of dispel some things that we've heard over the years, and this is what my dad told me, and this is what my brother told me, and this is what my idiot brother-in-law told me, and this is what, you know, whoever told you, because everybody has opinions. So, Jason, I'm not a native. I don't know if you are or not.
I'm a native Eastern Shoreman.
Okay. I was born away from here, so when we moved here when I was a kid, I was like 12 or 13 years old. My dad always opened and closed our vents in the summertime. We didn't know any better. That's just what my Uncle Bill told him to do, and the first house I had, that's what I did. It kills me because that's a long time of opening these vents, closing these vents, and there was absolutely zero thought put into it other than the fact that my dad was told by my Uncle Bill to open up the vents in the summertime and close them in the wintertime. And, you know, there was really no rhyme or reason. I think he was told by somebody who was told by somebody who was told by somebody. So I kind of really wanted to talk this morning about why we close our vents, what really happens in our crawl space, you know, some of the different products that are happening that should be happening down in there, and just really try to let folks know where things are happening. Because it's funny, I still get the same questions over and over and over again, Jason, you know, and I talked to the other sales guys too, and it's like, oh, well, I thought opening my vents was a good thing.
Technology changes, and this is one of the things that has changed over the years. Back when construction really became a big thing in the United States, perhaps right after the Second World War, when the housing boom started and houses were being built by the thousands throughout the country, it was thought that the crawl space vents were a good thing, and perhaps at that time they might have been to an extent. But over the years, we have found that crawl space vents are really not the best thing for your crawl space. And what is happening is that when you open that crawl space vent in the spring, you're letting into your crawl space hot, humid air into an area that is cooler than what the air is on the outside. And when you have warm that meets cool, you have condensation. And this is where your problems actually start in a crawl space.
Jason, before we really start getting into the meat of this thing, I had gotten an email last week, and the folks have had a hard time remembering our number, because we'll say it a couple times during the show. So I talked with some people in my office about how we can actually make life easier for, you know, for everybody on the radio to remember our phone number. So for those of you who don't know it, the 855s are out. And, you know, there used to be 800 numbers, and then they went to 866. Now there's 855. So what I want to do is give you folks our newest number, which is 1-855-DryZone, and you can still reach us, you know, on the web at dryzone.com. Get a hold of me, bill.anderson, or just bill@dryzone.com, or jason.harmon@dryzone.com. Now that we've kind of taken care of that, I just want to make sure everybody got it. It's not 866, it's not 800, it's 855-DryZone. Any questions you have, if you need us to come out and look at your crawl space, your basement, or your foundation, or whatever you need us to look at, those are the numbers you want to start calling in on, is the 855 dry zone. So anyway, Jason, we were talking about crawl spaces.
Foundation vents and the original purpose of them and how technology has changed over the years. Now, actual zoning codes are construction codes are changing so that crawl space vents can be 100% eliminated as long as the crawl space is conditioned. And what do we mean by conditioned, Bill?
Well, you know, that term kind of gets thrown around a lot, Jason, and I tend to get irritated when that subject, I guess, comes up, because I guess tomato, it's still a little round red fruit. So when you talk about the true definition of a conditioned crawl space, somebody could literally just cut a hole in your HVAC duct and throw some 6 mil plastic down in a crawl space. Well, homeowners that I meet, they still ask me, they're like, well, Billy, isn't cold air supposed to keep things less humid? Seems valid, right? If it's colder, it's supposed to be drier because our air conditioner is supposed to really taking some moisture out of the air. Well, it doesn't really happen as much as everybody thinks it does, because mold, it needs three things to live, right, Jason?
It Correct.
It needs a mold spore, it needs a food source, which is anything organic, and then it needs moisture. If the coldness was removing all of the moisture, you wouldn't be able to grow mold in your refrigerator. heater. So what it's doing is it keeps it cold, but there's still going to be a level of humidity in there. These last couple of winters have definitely been one of the most wettest that I can remember in a long time. Normally, it's so blame dry out there that you're putting, you know, lotion on your hands and on your face, and, you know, your sinuses are cracking, and most people are putting humidifiers in their house. And, you know, I did this year to at least some extent, but not as much. Just cutting a register in a duct doesn't really solve your problems. What this encapsulation means is that it needs to be isolating the dirt floor and the porous walls of your crawl space. So when we get in there, the first thing we have to do is we have to basically prep the area. We'll get in there and we'll clean up the floor, and then we block those vents so we can start to put, you know, our liners, or, you know, our clean space liners down there. And that's just not the only thing that has to be done at that point. You know, there's definitely a lot of different things that'll happen in a crawl space, and some things happen in different stages. We have some homeowners that say, listen, let's go ahead and block the vents and try a dehumidifier at first. Let's see how that works. Some homeowners, that's the last phone call we ever get from them, because we've accomplished what they've needed to have done. They've reduced their moisture enough to where they're happy. Some homeowners, they need a dryer, you know, so then we come back in and do phase two, or we just do the entire thing at once. Really, no matter how you want to tackle this situation, as long as you're on the right path and in the right sequence, it's not going to really matter.
In essence, a truly 100% encapsulated crawl space would be blocking the vents, sealing out air from the outside by sealing between the top of the blocks and the sill plate, installing a good quality, heavy, reinforced liner to separate the house from the earth, and installing a dehumidifier to control the humidity in the air. Now, once this is done, then we're accomplishing actually a number of things in your crawl space area. Number one, and probably the most important, is we're going to be controlling that humidity. And if you do not control the humidity in your crawl space, you're looking at a number of potential problems. Bill's already mentioned the mold, but you're also looking at the possibility of wood rot and of wood compression. Lumber should not have more than about a 14% moisture content to it. We're constantly running into homes where there are floor joists that have moisture contents of 25% or more.
And yeah, I tell you what, I don't mean to interrupt you, Jason, but I was talking with Brad the other day, and Brad's one of our system designers. He was in a house that had 85% moisture content. He's like, Billy, say, I grabbed the girder, the main supporting beam in the house, and I was able to squeeze it, and water was coming out. That's a huge amount.
That's for sure, Bill, and that's a very, very bad situation. And earlier I mentioned wood compression. Actually, we're seeing floor joists with so much moisture in them that where they cross the girder, they're actually compressing around the girder. And, of course, this is not good for your house. It's going to cause settling. And if not corrected right up front, you're going to be looking at a huge expense down the road for perhaps replacing floor joists and replacing girders. Becomes very costly when you have to start replacing floor joists. We have seen them recently where you can actually take a pencil and push through the floor joists. They're that rotten, all because the moisture has not been controlled in the crawl space. And this is what we do. And let me emphasize one thing right off the bat. Crawl spaces vary in what is required to bring them up to standards. Now, they might require some pump if there's actually a water issue there. If there's just a moisture issue, a dehumidifier along with the clean space encapsulation might be sufficient. So when you call us on the telephone and want to know, hey, what's it going to cost to do my crawl space? We can't give you a true answer over the telephone because crawl spaces vary from one to another. This is why we send a professional inspector designer out to your house to do an inspection of your crawl space. And when he's doing that inspection, he's also taking pictures. A lot of people have never been under their crawl space. So this is why he's taking pictures. Once he is done, he's going to come up to your house. He's going to load these pictures onto his computer, and he's going to show you exactly what your problems are. And then he's going to design right there with you what's going to be necessary to take care of your issues. And as Bill has already said, these can, in most cases, be done in stages if this is what the homeowner wants.
So, Jason, what are symptoms that you guys are hearing out in the field? I'm willing to bet that there's a lot of folks listening right now that say, well, I got a crawl space, but I think it's pretty good. You know, I'm not sure if anything's bad, and I'm not going down there to find out. So what are the symptoms that we're really seeing that we're really, that homeowners seem like that seems to be the big issues that they're getting?
Right now, we're at a point in the year when people are turning on their air conditioning systems. And a lot of air conditioning air handlers are located in the crawl space, as well as some heating units sometimes. But one of the things I'm hearing right now is, hey, when my air conditioner kicks on, it smells musty.
Yeah, what does musty mean, Jason? I mean, you know, we talk about it all the time, and I know we're not supposed to use that, you know, that four-letter word, but, you know, I mean, let's face it, musty is mold, right?
That's correct. Mold is causing the odor. This is bad. Mold is bad. You might want to call it microbial growth, but it's actually mold. And what it is doing, it is causing the odor in your crawl space. Ducts that are transmitting your cooled air from your air handler are most likely not 100% sealed, so they're actually sucking this air into the ductwork and it's being distributed throughout your house. A lot of people do not realize that 50% of the air that they're breathing in the living area of their house is coming from their crawl space or their basement, if they have a basement. Now, a house is like a chimney. It's what we call the stack effect. Air is exited out the vents in your attic and in your gables, but that air has to be replaced. So the house is drawing air in from leaky windows, leaky doors, and from your crawl space. In a lot of houses that have not been conditioned, this air is changing as much as one time every hour. So just think of all the mold spores and the other bad things that are being sucked up from your crawl space and distributed throughout your house. We can take care of that issue for you. And as Bill has already said, we do the inspections, and there is no charge for those inspections.
Well, you know, Jason, even besides the ducts being down there, for the most part, that's where a lot of the air handlers are. So, I mean, you can ask any HVAC guy, these are not self-contained units. So, I mean, it's going to be sucking air in around the machine itself. I know a lot of the newer HVAC equipment, and it has an exhaust and a return. Well, you know, a lot of them I've seen where it's exhausting. It's either exhausting outside or it's being drawn in from outside, but there's normally two holes in the thing, and it seems like one of them's always in the crawl space. So I don't know why. I don't know if it's laziness or if it's supposed to do that or what, but somewhere along the way, you're going to be picking up a lot of that air that's in that crawl space right through the ventilation system. And that's the reason why, you know, our ducts need to be cleaned. Because, like I said, let's face it, you know, if these were self-contained systems, once you had air that went into your house and it went right back into that same unit, there's filters on it, it wouldn't be probably half as dusty and dirty as it is. You know, most of the things that we see when we're doing an inspection is we'll go underneath the ductwork, and you'll just feel that nice cold air blowing right on you. And if it's blowing on you, it's sucking from somewhere. So, I mean, you know, that's definitely one of the symptoms that we're hearing. I think recently, since it's been so moist the last couple of years, you were talking about compression of wood earlier. And for those of you who don't know how to build how houses are built, after the break, I really want to explain that to you, because it's amazing what our houses are actually sitting on and why it's so bad what we're doing. So our producers over there are telling me, Jason, we're right up against a break, but I do want to give out our number. It's 855-DRYZONE, 855, not 866, not 800, but 855-DRYZONE. Folks, we'll be right back.
Your home is your biggest investment and provides warmth and shelter for you and your family. Now is the time to prepare your home for the winter weather that is just around the corner. Do you have a wet basement, water in your crawl space, or cracks in your foundation? DryZone provides waterproofing and crawl space encapsulation products and services all over Delaware and the eastern shore of Maryland. Call DryZone at 888-617-0360 for a free inspection and estimate, or log on at dryzone.com/the duck. DryZone will keep you ahead of the storm. Call 888-617-0360.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Do you work with or are you a member of an organization that provides employment information or job referrals? Any organization that regularly distributes employment information to job seekers or refers candidates to employers is eligible to receive information about our job vacancies. To be contacted when we have jobs available, contact Beverly Jones by mail, P.O. Box 237, Cambridge, Maryland 21613. Fax at 410-228-0130 or by email at bjones211@comcast.net. You will then receive periodic announcements of jobs at our stations. MTS Broadcasting LLC is an equal opportunity employer.
All right, Jason, we are back, and we were kind of leaving off with compression of wood and how our houses were built, and I said that we were going to kind of talk about how our houses are constructed. So we have our foundation put in, and most folks understand how that works. You know, we dig a footing, we lay block, we dig our piers, the little concrete columns underneath the house. Well, on top of that, where the actual backbone of our house goes, you're never going to get that block 100% level where it's supposed to be. So they take little teeny tiny, almost like balsa wood shims. And where do you think they put them, Jason?
Well, they put them between the girder and whatever blocks that they have put in to create the pier to support that girder. One of the other things that we're finding is that in a lot of cases, the supporting foundation for these piers has not been dug deep enough. You know, when they get ready to build a house, most of the times they scrape off the topsoil and maybe dig out a little bit for the crawl space, and they've disturbed the virgin earth. And a lot of times when these piers are built, the pad that the blocks are set on is not dug down to reach virgin earth again to properly support those piers. The blocks are put on top of the piers, and as Bill said, they're shimmed because they always, not always, do they touch where they're supposed to. Now, what happens over the years?
Well, let's stay on that part for a second. It's a shim that's an eighth of an inch wide that our house is sitting on. How much moisture do you think it's going to take to cripple that?
Not much.
Not much. I mean, you know, the sad part is, I mean, we see that all the time where it's completely caved in, and, you know, our house is now settled eighth of an inch or quarter of an inch. Well, that's okay right there where it happens, but when you start going up, the cracks start getting bigger, so we start seeing doors that are unlevel, and we start seeing, you know, windows that ain't working, and we start seeing, you know, these separations in our floors and these humps and everything else, and all that's coming from are those nasty little foundation vents that's letting that nice, warm, humid, hot air in there. It's funny, Jason, whenever I get to do inspections anymore, especially a crawl space one, I always talk to the homeowners, and we talk about insulation in our floors. And they're like, well, I don't know. Is it good? I've heard goods and bads with the vents. Billy, please help me. Tell me what's right. You know, I've read your book, and I know what it's kind of saying, and I get it, but it's going against every single thing I've ever learned. It's kind of like the diet that my wife and I are on right now. We're on the Atkins diet. Whoever thought eating greasy bacon cheeseburgers, you know, for three meals a day would help you lose weight, but it does. So it goes against everything we've been taught, you know, like opening the vents and closing the vents. Well, I always kind of tell homeowners basically the same little story every single time. It's, you know, the reason why our floors, or the reason why we have insulation in our floors, is because we know our floors are cold in the wintertime, right, Jason?
Correct.
So if that's true, then we insulate our floors to try to keep out the air. Well, why don't we just keep the air on the outside where it belongs in the first place, so it doesn't have to come into our crawl space, so we have to insulate our floors? If we're going to do anything, we insulate our foundation walls, and for the most part, we don't really need to do that most of the time, you know, or most houses don't anyway. So let's just keep the, whether it's the hot air in the summertime or the cold air in the wintertime or whatever, let's just keep that on the outside where it belongs, and we can actually start treating our crawl space like it's part of our house. Make sense?
Makes a lot of sense, Bill.
So anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, that's okay. Please feel free to interrupt any time. Back to our piers that we were talking about. These piers support the entire weight of the house. Thousands and thousands of pounds are on these piers constantly. And over a period of time, if they're not properly installed, they will actually be pushed into the ground. And when this happens, as Bill alluded earlier, then you're going to have the problems with cracking walls, with doors and windows that do not open and close properly, and possibly sagging floors. You would be surprised what we're seeing. And I'm not trying to use scare tactics here. I'm really trying to be very, very realistic. We just sold a job recently where the piers had settled, causing the girder to drop, which caused the wall between the master bedroom and the adjoining bedroom to be 3 inches from meeting the floor. In other words, the floor dropped away from that wall 3 inches. We have solutions for fixing this, which we will get into a little bit later. But these are issues that are caused by improperly installed piers. And also the problem that our water table here on the Delmarva Peninsula has risen in the last number of years. So our ground and our soils are not as stable as they used to be.
Yeah, think about it, Jason. I mean, when it's still funny. I have a lot of homeowners that will sit there and say, Billy, I think I have an underground spring. Like, well, you live at the beach, so how can you have an underground spring? You know, I mean, there's no cavernous material around us, right? What happens is it rains a lot, and the ground gets completely saturated, which, like Jason said, you know, it kind of makes a, you can call it a false water table, or you can call it a water table. I'm not with the well companies. At the end of the day, the ground gets real saturated. And it's just like anything else. If something gets super, super saturated, it's going to get soft. I don't care if it's pasta. I don't care if it's whatever. The wetter something is, the softer it gets. So we have something that's really super heavy, like our house, and it's sitting in ground that gets super, super soft. Well, it wouldn't be bad if the whole structure went in the ground evenly. It's just that it doesn't. It goes off a little. This side's a little bit heavier over here, so it advances into the ground a little bit faster. And you start to get cracking. And then, you know, the middle of the house might be heavier, so the piers start pushing down in the ground. And you start getting some unlevel floors and some sagging floors. Or like a house that I had went to, I guess it was like 2 weeks ago now, up in Wilmington, that it was a slab porch that was on the back of a house that was sort of on a hill, and the ground had gotten so wet that it started eroding from underneath the slab a little bit. They didn't know what to do, except for the fact we ended up putting some slab piers in, these posts that we use to basically hold the structure up, and then they're going to do kind of like a little retaining wall around it and start compacting dirt, so that way the whole structure didn't crack off. It amazes me that when we got into this business, Jason, it was like this whole light bulb. We've always heard that somebody's had like this aha moment, and an aha moment to me is, you know, somebody gets it. And when we're normally sitting down with the homeowner, it's actually really kind of neat when you have the homeowner and they have their aha moment. And it's like, well, why did they tell us this for so many years? Why did they say it this way? Why did they say it that way? And, you know, I don't want to think anything was malicious. I think it was just, it was what it was. This is what they were always told, because that's what they were always told. You know, that's the reason why we always used to open vents and close vents when I was a kid, was because that's what my Uncle Bill told my dad. What other symptoms are we getting, Jason? I mean, what are people really complaining about?
Well, we've got off the subject of the crawl space itself a little bit and got into really the construction of the house. Mm-hmm. But let's back up to the crawl space itself. A crawl space harbors a lot of critters that we do not like to have in our house. There's crickets and there's worms and there might be rodents of different kinds in there. But one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that the dust mite is the number one allergen in the United States. This little dust mite gives a lot of people a lot of grief. We're not actually allergic to the dust mite itself. We're allergic to the dust mite's droppings. And a dust mite does not drink water. A dust mite absorbs water through its skin. So if we can control that humidity in the crawl space, we're going to be able to eliminate the dust mites in that crawl space. And our goal really is to keep the humidity in that crawl space at 50% or below. And this is going to solve a lot of issues for people. The dehumidifier that we recommend for crawl spaces actually has filters in it. And the filters and this dehumidifier will remove particles as small as the mold spores that create mold, as well as the dust mite droppings. So it's going to improve the quality of the air that's in your crawl space, and this air in your crawl space is going to find its way up into your living area also. So by improving the quality of the air in the crawl space, you're actually going to be improving the quality of the air in your living area of the house also.
If you have somebody who's complaining about their allergies and their eyes are watering, and I don't really know what the symptoms of allergies are. I guess I know it's eye watering anyway, because my daughter actually does get that nowadays. But I guess sneezing is one of them, and coughing and wheezing and all those other things. It may or may not be asthma or whatever, you know, everybody thinks it is. It might just be the fact that you have more of these things growing in your house than what you should. So just a simple call to Dry Zone. I'm actually going to give out that number again. It's 855-DRY-ZONE. You know, simple call to us. We're going to send out a pre-mailer that has some information in it. We're going to have one of our certified designers come out, look at your home. They're going to be able to say, hey, listen, yay, nay, it is, it isn't. If it is, then you know how to take care of it. If it's not, then you move on to something else. It may be the allergies, too. It may be whatever's in the air outside that's making those things happen. But you never know until you have it inspected. And, you know, for heaven's sake, if it's a free inspection, why not take it? It never hurts to have something looked at. And we talk to homeowners, you know, all the time at the show about, they're like, well, listen, I don't think I'm going to do anything for a while, so I'll just hold off. And we're like, you know, why wait?
Yeah, Bill, you've hit it on a really good point there. Most people don't even go in their crawl spaces. They don't know whether they have an issue or not. And really, that's what we're here for. We're here to inspect your house and tell you, yes, you have an issue, or no, you don't have an issue. We're not going to try to sell you something that you don't need. We're not that type of a company. Dry Zone is a family-owned company. They pride themselves on their integrity. And that's one of the reasons why I work for Dry Zone. I feel that the integrity here is something that far exceeds the average company. And by checking your crawl space or having it checked by us, it will give you an idea of whether or not you have a problem. And if you have a problem, what is going to be required to solve that problem. I know a lot of people are on a fixed income this time of year, or all year actually, and they might have to save up a little bit to do some of these jobs. But you need to look at this from another angle too. At some point in time, you will probably be selling your house for one reason or another. And a house that has an issue to it of any kind is going to command less of a selling price than a house that is pristine in nature. We just had an example of this. We had some people who are moving from the area for health reasons, and they have their house under contract. They had a home inspection done. The home inspector in his report indicated that they had water in their crawl space. Here they are, 5 days away from settlement. And they're very concerned. Is this issue going to cause them to lose the sale, or what's going to happen? So they called us in. We gave them a price for correcting the issue. The realtors involved agreed that they could escrow the money at settlement so that they could go ahead and settle when planned and make their move, and the buyer will have the money to take care of fixing that issue after they get title to the property. So, you know, this issue could have been resolved by them long ago if they had just have had the crawl space inspected and maybe at that time corrected the issue, and the problem with the home inspector having a negative comment on his report would not have been experienced by the sellers.
All right, Jason. Well, I'm sitting there looking at our producers, and they're starting to give me that wind-up signal. So tell you what, would you like to give out our numbers and your emails and all that good stuff this morning?
I sure would, Bill. Don't forget, folks, we have a new number. The old ones still work, but the new number is 855-DRY-ZONE. 855-DRY-ZONE. You can reach Bill at bill@dryzone.com. or myself at jason@dryzone.com. And please feel free to contact us with any questions that you might have. We look forward to hearing from you.
All right, folks. Listen, Jason, I think that's it's just about up. So as always, I definitely appreciate you doing this with me. We've definitely missed you here the last couple weeks. So we will come back here next week. And how's that sound?
See you next week, Bill.
You've been listening to Under Your Home with Dry Zone. Dry Zone in Milton, Delaware, your complete source for basement and crawl space waterproofing, foundation repair, and basement finishing. 24-hour service. We never sleep at Dry Zone. 888-617-0363 or online at dryzone.com/theduck.